Yeah. I can do anything. Yeah. Hell no, hell no.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. I am joined all show today by Isioma Wabuzer, my new friend. I'm so excited to have you here. And this is, I've been so looking forward to this topic with you. So it's actually today, I just saw on the Twitter, even though there's supposedly an outage on Twitter today, I'm not sure, but it's the anniversary of Giannis's famous block last year in finals game number 4 on the Bucks' way to becoming world champions. You know, Giannis is always topical in Wisconsin and in Milwaukee, but his movie, or his family's movie, Rise, came out at the end of last month, so now like a couple weeks ago. We watched it the weekend that it came out and loved it. My dad, like I said, who's a basketball player, my parents watched it, and he immediately texted our family WhatsApp group being like, everyone needs to watch this movie. and it, you know, it's an incredible film because where I think some people thought, you know, it's the precursor, right? It's the precursor to when Giannis got drafted and how hard he worked to get drafted and how risky it was and what was at stake. But what we learn, if you didn't already know this, is that Giannis's parents are Nigerian. The whole family is Nigerian. They leave their oldest son behind on the search for a better life and more economic opportunity to then live as illegal immigrants in Greece. Well, first Turkey and then Greece. And for you, Isioma, you are also a Nigerian immigrant to the U.S., not to Greece. And so your unique perspective on this movie and what the similarities to what maybe your family went through coming here, and I'm sure there was a lot more personal feelings than maybe those of us who just love Giannis and that family.
Yeah. So, well, we all know how the movie ends, right? So the interesting part is it gives you that backstory, and it's a telling of a story that many of us who are Nigerian immigrants, or even if you're just a really big Giannis fan, it's a story you already knew. But what I appreciated about it is that for me personally, and I'll be quite candid, I felt for so long his background, his ethnic background, his national background had been a bit whitewashed, right? To make him suitable to this image that the NBA and whatever powers that be have curated, right? And he became this Greek freak, a term I never liked for various reasons. And I think
that's interesting. It can be, I mean, in certain ways it is derogatory, but it's, you know, it's also because he is a freak. He's a freak of nature, right? Like the fact that his knee bent backwards and then he started playing 3 games later is insane. But I digress. Yeah. You keep going.
I'll go off that. You know, it was the Greek piece for me because I knew that he wasn't a Greek. Greek hadn't given him citizenship. And part of me also felt it was a way for people to describe him without having to pronounce his name. So there was that piece. Because his name didn't roll off the tongue easy and it was tricky in the beginning. But now, you know, he's a world champion. Everyone knows his name. But it was a story that many of us already knew. And I appreciated that it highlighted the Nigerian piece of his story. You know, as you mentioned, Kristen, his parents were born in Nigeria. His eldest brother, Francis, was born in Nigeria, still lives in Nigeria to this day. His ethnic background, Giannis and I'm not just saying this to toot my own horn, have a lot more similarities than appear on the surface, aside from being Nigerian, aside from being undocumented immigrants. One of his parents is Igbo. One of his parents is Yoruba, which are tribes in Nigeria. That is my background as well.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So seeing his story play out was just so heartwarming for me, from the cast. So that he used an all Nigerian lead cast and director, you know, and these are people, you know, he didn't go get an Idris, which I'm sure he could have, you know, he didn't go get the, you know, a Michael B. Jordan, which I'm sure he could have, you know, he used people who weren't household names and that were true to his ethnic background. And so there's so many pieces, but you know, I won't keep going.
No, I think that is, and you know, and I don't know enough to know how, because, you know, sometimes Hollywood takes liberties in retelling stories. Like one of the biggest, I don't know how much of a basketball fan in general you are, but the HBO series Winning Time that was out this year that talks about the 1980s Lakers. For everyone who actually, you know, and a lot of those people are still alive. Like, there was a lot of criticism to that series because of the liberties they took on personalities and how things actually went down. So as far as you understand it, how close did the movie actually follow what their story was?
Yeah, it's pretty accurate from my understanding. So again, I sort of searched and looked Giannis's story up as soon as I knew a Nigerian player or a player of Nigerian background was coming to Milwaukee. And so I did my due diligence and did my research, and it's pretty true. Up until the time he was drafted, he was stateless because Greece doesn't have birthright citizenship. And so, you know, that is a point that resonated, you know, the struggles with him and his brother out in Greece selling to tourists, you know, and his family to sustain themselves. That is something that I knew prior to seeing the movie. The immigration, so a big thing for me and something that I wanted to bring up, so I have never referred to him by his Greek last name. I've always referred to him by his Nigerian last name, Adetokunbo. And that is, so I do want to make a note. So if you look at the movie poster, there's a tagline that says, "A king has come from overseas." And that is the literal meaning of Adetokunbo in Nigerian. Adetokunbo means the crown has come overseas. Ade is crown.
They kind of just gave me chills.
Yeah. And so even the tagline for the meaning is true to his etymological, is that how you say, you know what I mean?
Etymology. Sure, we'll go there.
Yeah, the etymology of his last name. So even his name being transcribed or transliterated by the immigration agency, and that's how we got this Antetokounmpo name, that is all true to his story. And I'm just glad that that's been able to be displayed and shared on a wider and broader platform.
That's incredible. There's so many aspects of this that are so such an incredible story. And, you know, I watched it as we in America have constant fights about the illegals and the fear mongering that goes into immigration here. And he is such a beloved person, not only just because he's one of the best basketball players to ever play, but also just because he's beyond charming in everything, every, you know, all the dad jokes and everything that he does. And so it's hard to not like Giannis. And yet I was so curious of how many people who can do the mental gymnastics of not being, you know, hating immigration, especially illegal immigration, and then watching that movie and seeing what their family went through, not here, but I mean, there's like analogous situations that happen here as far as people coming and the struggle that is real. And actually, I think you have done a TED Talk, which this is the first time we're having a TED Talk speaker on the show about being a dreamer. And so I think I would love to hear more about so many different aspects of it. One of just your story and your family's story and what that was like coming to Milwaukee in what, the 80s?
Yeah, yeah. Early 90s? 1991, 1992. Okay. Yeah, we came in 92.
And what that journey was like, and then we can talk more about the TED Talk.
Yeah, no, and I think, Kristen, you make a good point that I really want to drive home. I don't want this, I don't want people to get lost in this being an NBA champion story. This is an immigration story. Let's be very clear. Giannis's story is the story of so many immigrants, and we have to have an appreciation for hardworking immigrants that are not champion athletes, right? But what is unique to Giannis's story is that because he is a stellar athlete, that is what has afforded him his path to citizenship. It is one of the quickest ways to American citizenship. To be a stellar athlete, to be super skilled, to be a multi-million dollar investor, that is one of the quickest paths. But that's not the case for many of us. So someone like me, there's still not a clear path to citizenship. So to sort of discuss what you've brought up, I am a dreamer. It is a term that this country uses for children who are brought to the United States illegally, what they consider illegally. For me, my experience is my parents flew in. So that's another sort of, you know, misconception people have that people just, everyone crosses a border. No, we flew in on a visa and we just never left, right? Yeah. So we flew in.
But there's a lot of European immigrants who do this. As someone who dated a French guy who did not come here legally, there's a lot of Canadians who do that.
There are a ton of white immigrants. People don't appreciate that. If you've ever been in an immigration detention center, you would know that. But, you know, who just walks into an immigration detention center? Anyway. But that is so. We came in on a visa, and you know the story of immigrants is one of resilience and is one of sacrifice. So many people do not leave the devil they know for an angel they don't know just because for their health, right? There's something that they truly value, and something there's so much hope that they believe is on the other side. My parents had their degrees. My family has a great legacy in Nigeria, but my parents wanted more opportunity for us. So my mom was an English teacher, English professor in Nigeria, had her degree, came here, got her degree again, and is now a nurse, right? Is a registered nurse, all while being an immigrant, right? All without legal status. My father started all over, was working in agriculture in Nigeria, came here and started all over and built me and my siblings up and sacrificed opportunities for us. You know, one of the sort of nuances of being an illegal immigrant, and I don't use the term illegal, so actually niche that, I use undocumented.
Yes.
One of the nuances of being an undocumented immigrant is that there's a ban on reentry. And so if you ever leave the United States for any reason, you get the kiss of death, which is a 10-year ban on your reentry. And so that means my parents, when they left Nigeria, you know, Muhammad Airport, they never saw their parents again alive, right? Because of that sacrifice they made for their children. So, you know, when you see Francis, Giannis's brother, and his parents leaving him behind, that is so true to so many immigrant experiences, especially immigrants that are not NBA champions.
Yeah, that is, and I apologize. I should have used air quotes, which wouldn't have helped because we're on the radio. But as far as the term that is so overused as the conservative usually talking point for the fear mongering of illegals.
Exactly.
But yes, no human is illegal, undocumented, and
acts are illegal. People are not.
Yes, and so what actually? That's an interesting, because I feel like during the Trump presidency, there was so much attention and headlines on the status of where DACA was. Mm-hmm. And since he's not president, where are we with that as far as what? Because basically at that point, weren't most DACA children or people who were under that status, they were going to like lose their standing?
Yeah.
And where are we on that?
Yeah, so we were in limbo. So to provide context for people listening and people viewing, DACA is Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. It's an executive order that went into play in 2012 under the Obama administration and was designed to provide temporary relief for people exactly like me, dreamers who have no clear path to citizenship. During the Trump administration, DACA was threatened, went up to the Supreme Court, and he tried to rescind that. He had a full-on fledged attack on immigrants. I don't know what it was. I don't know why, considering his family's history, but his administration really came down hard on immigrants. And so for that time, the USCIS, so Immigration Services, they were not taking new applicants. So people who were currently under DACA could maintain their DACA status, but no new applicants could come in. Now, the Supreme Court has since shot down his challenge and has gone back to the lower court, and they have since resumed accepting new applicants. So it's still pretty much status quo right now, but I think it's sort of reiterates the need to have a permanent solution, because at any given time we could be right back in, you know, Trump time.
So, which Congress still hasn't done.
Exactly.
So as we talk about, you know, the outrage of Congress never codifying Roe, this is another huge thing that politicians choose to. Sorry, Luke, what are you doing? You know, politicians campaign on, but then don't necessarily do anything to secure and settle so that people can be safe and know where they are in their ability to live in this country and succeed. Because one of the things I want to talk about when we come back is, I found this morning, literally, this new New York Times opinion piece on, it's not really an opinion because it's based on fact, of the financial success of specifically second generation, so children of immigrants, and how the numbers don't lie, that y'all do very well once your family gets established here. So I want to talk about some of the numbers that this new book has found, and just let you gloat for a second, because you, my friend, are very successful. All right, we'll be right back in a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. I can do anything. Yeah. Hell no. Hell no.
You know anything about me? what's up, buddy? Yeah.
Covered in ice. I'm about to learn.
This is so good.